The system was sent an update, and that update had a software bug in it and caused
it. Certainly did have a software bug. That's the voice of George Kurtz, who's the CEO of CrowdStrike. That's the company that caused havoc with the IT outage around the world on Friday, and that continues. And with more on that, joining me now is our IT and gadget guru, man who's got a wonderful website, techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick, and he's on the line. Morning, Stephen.
G'day there, Richard. How you doing?
Yeah, terrific, mate. Better than a lot of, well, a lot of companies who've been knocked for six with this IT outage. Everybody's spoken about as the biggest ever. Would you talk about it that way, the biggest IT outage?
Absolutely, yeah. And I would say that, Richard. It was. I haven't seen a bigger impact of an outage, like not just in global, but also across multiple sectors, airlines, banks, retailers, all knocked off. But you know what? The alarming thing about it is that it could have been a lot worse. Microsoft released some information, like they've been supporting customers who are recovering from, because this affected their cloud platform, their Azure platform. And they said that it only affected, would you believe, less than 1% of Windows devices in the world.
Yeah.
And that's still 8.5 million computers, just to be clear. Yeah. Just goes to show the footprint that Microsoft has across all these industries. But also, too, CrowdStrike is the security company that no one had heard of until last Friday.
Yes.
Now, also have this monopoly on that platform. So there's calls for, if all our eggs in one basket, yes, when it's working, it's great. But when it's not working, it's a catastrophe. Should there be a little bit more, not redundancies, but different options so that this doesn't happen again?
So what actually happened?
It is a real dilemma.
It was an update that they obviously hadn't checked thoroughly.
There was a bug in the update that the system actually did what it was designed to do. The update didn't work. It thought, well, this is an attack. I'm going to shut down. And then the downstream effect was that all the other terminals, you remember all the terminals at the airports and banks and retailers, the applications and all the processing happens in the cloud. So the cloud, the Azure platform, that was then, it said, well, I'm not secure, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to operate because something's wrong here. So the system actually, it was its self-defense mechanism worked fine. But unfortunately, what triggered it was a human error, an error in the line of code that set brought everyone to a standstill.
But it didn't affect personal computers. It was only businesses?
Personal computers, which had the whole system, like if you get a laptop that has Windows 11 on it, then you're not connecting to this cloud platform that all these companies are connecting to, you're fine. You're just connecting to the internet. That's all fine. But if you've got the servers that these companies access are up in the cloud. They're on this platform. So rather than having the physical servers in their building, the servers are up in the cloud.
So why will it be a couple of weeks before it's all sorted out? Why can't they send out another update and fix it straight away?
Well, they have done that. Yeah. They have done that. And what the process now is that every single terminal has to be manually updated. So
5
million terminals has to be install the update, restart it, reboot it, and then you're good to go. That takes time. 8.5 million doesn't happen.
And that can't be done automatically.
No.
It's all got to be done manually.
On-site. Right. IT managers would be working for days on this.
Wow. Okay. And they reckon, forget about compensation. There won't be any compensation.
Well, that's the thing. There was the billions of dollars lost by airlines and retailers. You hear all kinds of stories. People couldn't pay for their petrol, couldn't pay for their groceries. The airlines couldn't check you in. There were flights cancelled. So the cost of this is monumental. Whether CrowdStrike's going to be held liable is another thing. We're yet to see.
Yeah, all right. And they reckon about $1 billion worth it's going to impact business here. I think they're saying at least $200 million in New South Wales alone. But obviously that figure won't be known for some time. It does highlight the vulnerability. And particularly, most of these updates happen without people knowing, don't they? They just do it.
Yeah, it's normally deployed and deployed properly. In this instance, there was like one line of code that stopped the world. It was just unfortunate. But there's been a lot of talk of having redundancies. Well, there are redundancies, in, like for 000 emergency services, they've got redundant systems.
Right.
I've been saying this all weekend, is that the thought of having a redundancy for your main system is like you having a spare car in case your car doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Your car is reliable and you assume it's going to work every single day, so why have a second car?
Yeah.
That's their approach to their systems, is that it's robust, it's bulletproof, should work fine.
It should.
So why have another system?
Yeah.
That's the thought process. But whether they maybe have a smaller server that's sort of tucked away in case of emergency, you know, in case of fire, break glass kind of situation, then that's yet to be seen. Because if that was the case, say they had a Mac or a Linux system, which they went, those companies that had Mac and Linux were, it was business as usual, they could potentially do things like pay for, retailers could pay for that people right in front of them, people could check into their flights, and you could then switch back over to the other system when it's up and running. But again, I bring back that analogy that their system is usually very, very reliable, and why have a backup for something that's usually very reliable?
It's a
catch-22.
Yeah, it is a catch-22. Look, we've spoken at length about the switch off of 3G, and Telstra were giving away free handsets to customers who were doing it tough and struggling to maybe convert their old 3G to a better phone. Optus are now doing it as well, giving away free handsets. Is that right, Stephen?
That's correct. Yeah, 20,000 of them, as a matter of fact. And they were, of course, giving them to people doing it tough, you know, elderly people, people with medical conditions, people in remote areas that really just can't manage to update themselves in time. Optus 3G will be the last 3G standing once it closes at the end of September. Telstra's going to close at the end of August, and then at the end of September you've got Optus, and then there's no more 3G in Australia. So Optus are kind of the last person standing here. They're going to offer these handsets to, and these are they're not handing out iPhone 15 Pro Maxes or anything. These are affordable handsets. They've even got a postpaid deal where you can receive a $400 discount on any smartphone on an eligible plan, and a lot of those smartphones are under $400 anyway, so you're basically getting a free phone on an eligible plan. So they're trying to help customers to make sure they're not left behind once 3G shut down, because there are some cases where 4G phones can make phone calls but can't connect to 000 because they need a technology that's in the more recent phones, VoLTE, voice over LTE. LTE short for long term evolution, which is another name for 4G.
Okay.
So they need VoLTE on their device. They can, Optus customers can check, they can text the number 3 to 3498 on the device in question, and they'll know straight away whether that device needs to be updated or whether it's going to be fine.
All righty. We've spoken about the proliferation of e-bikes and e-scooters and electric skateboards. I almost got flattened the other day walking out of my unit building, and an e-bike went past at the speed of light and almost took me out. And I notice up in Queensland there have been a growing number of injuries caused by e-bike accidents, but the market's growing exponentially, isn't it? The sale of e-bikes is going through the roof.
They're bringing the number of e-scooters and bikes you can buy now are really ramping up. But there are still some rules. Like, you can't ride fast on footpaths. Like, what happens if you're a 85-year-old lady and you get hit by a bike? You get killed. There's got to be some common sense here. Despite the fact of their popularity, I think there needs to be some rules enforced. Unfortunately, there's a lot of grey areas in some states about whether they're actually legal or not, where you can and can't ride them. But I think given the number of e-bikes and e-motorbikes that are coming into the country, then each state should really sort of wise up and make some hard and fast rules.
Hear, hear. Definitely. As I said, I very narrowly missed getting absolutely knocked for six. You'd be happy with the way your Rabbitohs are going? Another win last weekend?
Yeah, mate. There's some of the faint hopes of a final spot is still there. You never know. It's and who knew Damien Cook can kick goals like that?
Yes.
I wish I'd have known that 8 years ago.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend. I think you've got the Raiders on Sunday.
Yeah, not nice away game. That's in the cold in the heart of Canberra. There.
Yeah,
it's going to be
good luck.
Fun.
Good luck, mate. All right, great.
Need it.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Thanks for that.
Thanks, mate.
All the best. Our IT and gadget guru, Stephen Fenwick, he's got a great website too. There's a lot of explanation about the CrowdStrike kerfuffle too and the IT outage. Techguide.com.au, that's Stephen's website. It's a beauty.